Welcome back, or I should say, from Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Before this year, you may have heard of the drug ivermectin if you were unfortunate enough to have head lice, or you may have heard of it if you were a veterinarian working with horses. But recently, this drug, of which there is a human version and an animal version, has been in the news because people are using ivermectin without supporting evidence in the treatment of COVID-19. Doctors say this is not an effective way to treat COVID, and not only that, it can be quite dangerous. So how did a drug like ivermectin, the stuff of farm supply stores, become a risky and unproven treatment for COVID that some patients are demanding of their doctors? We're joined by Farah Yousri. She's a health equity reporter from WFYI's Side Effects Public Media and the Indianapolis Recorder. She's also been reporting on how shaky ivermectin studies overseas wreaked havoc here in the U.S. Farah, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Listeners, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have a question or a comment about ivermectin, maybe you yourself have been curious about it or have known people in your family or circle who have wanted to see about using it. Maybe you've heard a famous podcaster talking about using it and many other things to treat his case of COVID. Let us know, 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. So let's begin with a basic question. What exactly is ivermectin, and how is it traditionally used?
Yeah, so you explained it nicely in the introduction. Like you said, it's a powerful drug that treats some parasitic diseases, and there are two types, one for humans, and that's FDA approved to treat certain conditions like head lice and stomach worms. The other is for large animals. And this one is dangerous for humans to take because it's almost impossible to dose properly. As you might imagine, it's made for, 200-pound horses or cows. So getting a human dose is extremely hard, and it's very easy to overdose. Globally, ivermectin is fairly cheap and widely available, even in countries with limited resources and limited supply of COVID vaccines. So this explains the intense interest in the drug as a way to treat or prevent COVID in some of these countries. But, it also begs the question of why in a country like the US, where vaccines literally outnumber people, an unproven COVID drug like ivermectin has become such a heated cultural and political fight that some people may choose not to get vaccinated, but trust that ivermectin will protect or treat them. And again, it's important to stress that no health authority in the US recommends the use of ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID.
And yet, despite that, I mean, you contacted a number of clinics that, or at least one clinic that seemed to be offering this. Were you surprised at how many clinics? Let me ask it that way. Were you surprised at how many clinics seemed to be offering ivermectin to patients?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one clinic made it to the radio story, but there are so many others. I was on the phone with many of them. It was very interesting to see how widespread ivermectin prescriptions are. There are literally websites listing hundreds of providers around the country ready to prescribe ivermectin. And they usually charge anywhere from $100 to $300 upfront for a telehealth appointment to prescribe the drug. And then the drug is filled in a pharmacy, and that also costs a few hundred dollars more. So it's pretty pricey. I'd like you to listen to a phone call I had with one clinic in Austin, Texas.
Sure. And so can you get a prescription even if you're not sick with COVID currently?
Yeah, actually, Dr. Hyderam prescribed ivermectin just to keep it on hand in case you get infected or to take it preventatively.
So as you see, some clinics I got in touch with, they prescribe ivermectin even if you're not currently sick. Some in the Midwest say they're very busy, that they have to set up group telehealth appointments with more than one patient on the same call to provide ivermectin prescriptions. And one doctor I spoke with in rural Indiana told me he has personally prescribed the drug to hundreds of patients, and he claims some have seen improvement or treatment of their COVID. But, healthcare experts say that cases of people improving after getting ivermectin is not sufficient evidence to say that the drug works or is safe. We need well-designed trials to get reliable answers.
And there are, and we can talk about some of the trials that people have cited with ivermectin, but let me ask you, is there a specific moment, when this sort of took off? Like, I mean, this is not something that people were talking about early in the pandemic. What happened to sort of catalyze this interest?
Yeah, it feels like it came out of the blue, right? I mean, so according to the CDC, there is a 24-fold increase in ivermectin prescriptions for humans compared to pre-pandemic times. And that's across the country, including the Midwest. And the peak seems to have been around the summer of 2021. There was also an alarming trend of some people resorting to the veterinary product because it's cheaper or because they may not be able to pay for a doctor's prescription. And it was around that time that poison centers started to take notice. I spoke with Dr. Robert Hendrickson. He's the medical director of the Oregon Poison Center. Here's what he had to say.
We don't hear a lot about ivermectin toxicity because it's not prescribed very much. And in the year 2020, we only had 3 cases over the entire year in our catchment area of ivermectin toxicity. But what we noticed was in the summer, we had 21 cases in a single month.
So it's important to note that it was by the summer of 2021 when there was an influx of research studies on ivermectin overseas. And, by way of social media and the internet, these studies spread like wildfire in the US. And that's when it really started gaining traction in the US.
So let's talk then about some of these studies. How were they done? What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, so interest in ivermectin started after a study last year in Australia looked at how the drug can kill the virus causing COVID. But the way they did the study was through lab tests, petri dishes outside the human body. And they used doses that are 100 times the dose safe for a human being. So there were so many concerns about this study and the hype around it. However, it had already stirred the pot and other clinical trials in humans started taking place. And the results were posted mostly on preprint servers. And those studies came from all over the world, from India, Iran, Argentina, and beyond. And some of them showed promising results. In fact, the biggest randomized controlled trial on ivermectin was done in rural Egypt around December 2020. And it showed that the drug is 90% effective against COVID. The study was hailed as a national victory in Egypt. And so all of this ongoing research caught the attention of established and well-respected drug experts. One of them is a pharmacology researcher at Liverpool University in the UK, who I spoke with. He collected all of this data and, all of these studies coming from all across the world. And he did a big analysis based on all of the different results. And he found that ivermectin seems to work for COVID. But not too long after he put this study out, it was discovered that there are some major ethical concerns and even potential fraud in the Egyptian study, which is the largest on ivermectin. I spoke with Jack Lawrence. He's a biomedicine master's student in London, and he was one of the first people to point these concerns out. Have a listen.
The first thing I found was the plagiarism, and then again, pretty concerningly, I found some serious ethical issues. The biggest, perhaps, is that they had reported the study as starting on the 8th of June, and they included a number of patients who had died before that date.
And as you might imagine, that's basically impossible. And so that big
Right, because how could
analysis,
they
which
be, if
initially
they've
said
already dead, how could they possibly be getting treated with
exactly, or give consent, or even like, I don't know, like it's a whole host of ethical problems. And so that big analysis, which said that, ivermectin seems to work, was retracted. And then the same researcher put out another one that said there is no benefit to ivermectin, and the Egyptian study was removed from the preprint server. Similar issues seem to be arising in other studies too. But at that point, the interest in ivermectin had grown significantly, and it sort of became this, cultural and political war in the US. And also note that this is around the same time that vaccines start rolling out. And so ivermectin was used by some anti-vaccine groups as a way to say, look, there is an alternative to vaccines. But obviously, there is no evidence to support these claims. And much of the research that these groups cite have lots and lots of limitations, even potential ethical problems, like I said.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st. We're speaking with Farah Yousri, who's a health equity reporter for Side Effects Public Media out of WFYI, also the Indianapolis Recorder. And she's been reporting on how questionable ivermectin studies overseas have led to problems here in the U.S. 800-222-9455 is our number. So I think there are people out there who think, well, why not just do the sort of throw the bowl of spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks approach? What are some of the dangers of ivermectin? You mentioned toxicity earlier.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the most dangerous thing is to go and get the version of the drug that's meant for animals. And that's how most people land in the hospital with poisoning. But also the human version of the drug can have some side effects, even if dosed correctly. Again, Dr. Robert Hendrickson of the Oregon Poison Center explains it best.
I should note, though, that ivermectin it is a medication that has a fair number of interactions. So the reason why most people don't get sick or don't get confused or become unconscious or have seizures from ivermectin is because it's pumped out of your brain actively. Now, there are a bunch of prescription medications, over-the-counter medications, and supplements that can inhibit that process. And so the ivermectin can accumulate in the brain and cause toxicity. And that can even happen with what I would call therapeutic doses. So the doses that are prescribed for other reasons, not COVID.
Yeah, I mean, so beside the outright ethical concerns, I mean, there are so many limitations that the trials that seem to be supporting ivermectin have. The NIH says many of these trials, have very small sample sizes, which cannot derive conclusive answers from. Some were using different doses of ivermectin within the same trial. Others had patients receiving different drugs at the same time, not just ivermectin. So it confuses the assessment of efficacy and safety of ivermectin.
Yeah, and I guess, this is at a time when you mentioned the vaccines, but there are also treatments for people maybe who avoided getting the vaccine in terms of, the Regeneron cocktail is one. There are a number of other ones whose names are escaping me at the moment. Pfizer has the course of treatment coming online that people are very excited about. And yet I understand that some states are putting pressure on doctors to prescribe ivermectin. Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are some cases of lawmakers, for instance, in Tennessee, calling for unrestricted access to ivermectin. So instead of people like trying to find ivermectin, they just want it to be readily available for people with COVID. In many other states, there are patients suing hospitals. We've seen that in Illinois. We've seen that in Indiana. They sue hospitals and doctors who refuse to give ivermectin to a sick COVID relative, family member. Online, when I was reporting, I found hundreds of posts asking for a lawyer who can help a family sue the hospital to give ivermectin. Others were raising funds online to do that. I mean, it's become a situation, and some lawmakers, especially Republican lawmakers, are being swayed by what their constituents are asking for. I'm not aware of a certain state that officially puts pressure on doctors to prescribe ivermectin, but I mean, the pressure is on given the cultural and political debate that's surrounding the drug.
So during the pandemic, a lot of us have become sort of armchair epidemiologists and armchair virologists and maybe even armchair not board certified infectious disease specialists. So how does what you looked at get at this bigger question of, studies? You mentioned the word preprint earlier, that a lot of these studies had not been peer reviewed. I mean, what does this say about the general public looking at this information? People are hungry for information, but maybe there's a cost, right?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite term is Facebookologist as well. That's newest pandemic trend. Yeah, I mean, so that's the million-dollar question. During a global pandemic, it makes sense that scientists want to share research as quickly as possible. And, the traditional peer review process, which is the gold standard of doing science, to get a study in a scientific journal, it usually takes months, sometimes even years. And during an evolving global pandemic, that's too long. So some journals have fast-tracked the peer review process, But many scientists have resorted to what we call preprint servers, which are basically websites where you can share non-peer-reviewed initial research, and that can just take a few days before your study is out in the world. And that was crucial during the early days of the pandemic, you know, when scientists learned the genetic code of the virus and how it's transmitted. But the problem is, this also means that unvetted research is accessible to people outside of the scientific community. You know, preprint studies are literally popping on your uncle's social media feed and that family WhatsApp group. And at that point, even when some of that research is removed because it was found to have flaws or, you know, concerns, the harm is already done. And it's not hard to see. I mean, there are very deep social and political problems in the US. I spoke with several sociologists who kept saying that many people just do not trust public health officials and medical authorities in the US anymore. So, you know, many people view the fact that a study is being retracted from a platform as a form of censorship or, you know, big pharma war. And that's exactly the argument surrounding ivermectin at the moment.
Wow. Well, Farah Yousry, thank you so much for coming on the 21st today and sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you for having me.
Farah Yousry is a reporter, health equity reporter with Side Effects Public Media from WFYI and also the Indianapolis Recorder. We'll have a link to her story on our website, 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.